Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
She is the incomparable Joyce Vance. You've seen her on MSNBC, I mean, because she was living there for a long time back in the day. But Joyce has served as the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama from 2009 to 2017. She was nominated for that position by President Barack Obama in 2009. She served on the Attorney General's Advisory Committee and was the co-chair of its Criminal Practice Subcommittee. As a U.S. attorney, she was responsible for overseeing all federal criminal investigations and prosecutions in North Alabama, including matters involving civil rights, national security, cyber crime, public corruption, health care, corporate fraud, violent crime, and drug trafficking. Girl, when did you have time to to eat, sleep, see your husband?
As one of my colleagues used to always remind me, we can sleep when it's over.
We sleep when it's over. So Joyce recently, though, and this is really good news, Joyce recently received the University of Alabama at Birmingham School of Public Health's Lou Wooster Public Health Hero Award for her leadership in creating a community-engaged initiative that included partners from law enforcement, the medical and business communities, and educators to address the heroin and opioid epidemic in Northern Alabama. So that is some really good work. Joyce, it's a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. I'm really excited about our conversation. Hope you and the family doing well. You guys just had a little bit of battle with the storm that ripped through the central portion of the coast, but you seem to be doing okay.
Power's back on after Zeta, and I'm delighted to be with you this morning.
Excellent, excellent. So I want to start with something that you wrote, actually, back on the 20th of October. And I love the way you opened it up, because it speaks to so many things. You said, quote, "We tell our children to play by the rules. We tell them treating everyone fairly ensures respect for the system. Unless, of course, you're a nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States. Then, based on how the Republicans have handled the vacancy created by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, there are no rules. All that matters is getting your way." What I liked about that opening paragraph was not just about the politics and the machinations around the nomination process, but that opening could apply to a lot of what we've seen over the last 3 years in terms of how this administration, and particularly the president, has operated in some of these very important spaces. And how he looks, and how not just him, but Republicans now look at public service. It's really about getting your way. Before we get into some of the nitty gritty, give us a sort of a top line overview of how you see this moment in the country and its politics and its political leaders in the context of that opening paragraph.
Well, I think you're right. We're in a perilous moment in this country. We're in a moment where people are going to have to choose country or party. You can no longer have both. And I think President Trump's closing argument and Joe Biden's closing argument, no matter what your politics are, frankly, provide a sharp contrast for what the next 4 years and probably the future of this country looks like. Will we try to come back together and make a path forward in difficult times? This COVID epidemic is not over, it's not going anywhere. So that's right. One vision, this vision that we come together regardless of party and move forward. On the other side is a vision of division. This notion that people are different, that they are separate, that there is an us and a them, and that you should come over to the Trump side and be part of the us, because the them will destroy you otherwise. It's a very dark vision. It harkens back to the president's inaugural speech in American Carnage. I don't think much has changed for him since then. So that's the decision America makes next Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's a lot around those that around what you said. I had been pushing that same idea that this election, more than anything else, is about us. If, and to, you know, for example, today you know, the government announced, you know, GDP, 33% growth in GDP, which for the third quarter, you know, plays out to about 7% growth for the economy. And that's good. I'm not going to begrudge that. But we're 230,000 people are dead, and there's no plan to deal with COVID-19. That month, that 7% GDP growth in the third quarter was based on all the stimulus that was passed in the third quarter. Nothing has been passed since then. And so these realities are still there. And the country has to assess whether or not we're acting in our best interest or we're acting in the best interest of those who want to get their way.
Well, that's right. I think that there's a ruling class that's trying to sell a bill of goods to average Americans. And the reality is that the Trumps and their friends continue to benefit at the expense of many of the people who are voting for them, because folks have had the wool pulled over their eyes by a TV snake oil salesman.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing to me how that resonates. So when you look at bringing it a little bit more into focus into a space you know a lot about, when you're looking at what has happened with the Supreme Court nomination process, before we get into the specifics on Coney Barrett, how have you seen that? How have you assessed that? How do your fellow prosecutors assess that? I mean, look, You guys do your job. The court does its job. We know that. But you've got to also think about the process and what it may mean to the criminal justice system and how some of these narratives play out and how the public looks at the roles that the courts play in our system. How do you see that at this moment?
I guess you would call me a pragmatic Democrat. I believe that elections have consequences. One of those consequences is that the president of the party that wins gets to pick Supreme Court justices, and whoever controls the Senate gets to give them a yes or a no vote. So I don't grudge any president his selections as long as they're qualified. We can and people have debated Amy Coney Barrett's qualifications. Her judicial record is pretty fresh, pretty new, mm-hmm. And she appears to have been selected for a specific purpose. Healthcare, perhaps other purposes, but that's the prerogative of the party that wins. It's the process that I think has been shocking to prosecutors mm-hmm. and to people like me, because you have to have a set of rules and they have to apply to everybody. That's what the Supreme Court right. stands for, right? right? We have right. a rule of law, we apply it equally to everyone. Suddenly we have a Supreme Court justice who has been selected as the result of a process that wasn't fair. There was a set of rules that applied to Merrick Garland, Barack Obama's nominee, during his final year in office. Republicans said, no vote during the last year in office. We can't pick a Supreme Court justice then. Lindsey Graham even reiterated that. And in 2018, he said, if there is a vacancy in the final year of President Trump's term, we will not name the successor Supreme Court justice. Well, that was all different in 2020. And that fundamental lack of fairness has to give us pause, has to give us concern about the integrity of this court moving forward. That's a problem for prosecutors, but for everyone else too.
Well, it's interesting how you connect those dots there, because it does mean for a lot of Americans, you know, in one sense, a lot of folks don't pay attention to the Supreme Court. It, just when you get into these sort of heated battles, all these passions come out. I don't think people fully appreciate the degree to which the court does impact their lives, and the fact that this is a lifetime appointment that Coney Barrett, whom I don't know personally, but I do know of, and people who do know her, see her as a well-grounded individual, and you know, had really nice things to say about her personally. But she's there, could be there for 40 years, all right, and that says a lot. And how we come at these types of issues, And you stated it correctly. The president gets to pick. The Supreme Court, the Senate gets to affirm or deny that pick. But we don't really get into the substance of what the transformation of the court over time can be for average Americans out there. Do you think that there's going to be a greater awareness of that now, given that it's a 6-3 conservative majority? Healthcare is certainly first up on the docket starting this month. At the end of the month, they're going to hear the administration's case to overturn the ACA. And then, of course, you then get on the back end, potentially, cases that could come that will touch on marriage issues and reproductive rights issues, et cetera. How should the public be assessing this at this point? Is it one of those things, the horse is out of the barn, and you just kind of live with it, or what? Because there right now, Joyce, there's no case. Tell me the case that's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Tell me the case that's going to roll back marriage rights. It just doesn't happen out of whole cloth. You just can't make it up. There has to be a legitimate injustice somewhere that needs to get corrected, right? So people understand how this works.
Yeah, so that's absolutely right. There's got to be an active case in controversy. I suspect that we'll see those. I know a lot of states, really? Alabama is one of them, have personhood statutes, for instance, saying that you're a person from the moment of conception. So these cases will work their way into the courts. I don't know that we'll see Roe versus Wade overturned. I think we may see a case called Casey that sort of expounds on Roe, be the case where those inroads get made. But, it's interesting. You talk about the dynamic here. The Republicans have been incredibly successful in convincing their voters that the Supreme Court is an issue, that it matters in every presidential race. And even if the candidate is not your favorite candidate personally, you must vote Republican because abortion, the Supreme Court is on the ballot. The Democrats have never succeeded in doing that with their voters. I think in large part because Democrats believed that gains were permanent, that things like Roe couldn't be undone. Democrats will have to learn where they have a real come to Jesus moment and think about what their priorities are going into future election cycles. And so I wonder if we won't see some of the Bernie Sanders supporters who stayed home in 2016 come out and vote in 2020 because they understand that a lot more than Joe Biden is involved.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.